I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Says he still believes Chinese President Xi Jinping is a dictator even after yesterday's four-hour meeting between the two leaders. Watch this.
After today, would you still refer to President Xi as a dictator? This is a term that you used earlier this year.
Well, look, he is. I mean, he's a dictator in the sense that he is a guy who runs a country that is a communist country that is based on a form of government totally different than ours. Anyway, you know,
China responded to the president's remarks this morning, calling them, quote, extremely wrong and irresponsible political manipulation. Biden said yesterday he and Xi made real progress in their meeting as they walked in this beautiful garden. They agreed to reopen a presidential hotline, resume military-to-military communications, and work to curb, their word, not mine, quote, curb the flow of fentanyl into America.
Curb it, but it's already here in massive amounts. More of it's already in Mexico and other places waiting to get here. And that's assuming you believe that China will keep its promise. It never has before. Why should it now? It's placating Biden. Just so he can walk away and say, hey, I got him to, they're not going to let fentanyl into the country anymore. And then, of course, getting the communications line established. Part of that goes back to the balloon that crossed our nation, remember? Oh, I know you remember. Our military, for a while, I was wanting to know, why did we not see this? Why didn't we? Well, apparently we did, and they could not get orders to intercept it as it was approaching our international, going from international waters into U.S. territorial waters. We could have shot it down in the Aleutian Islands off of Alaska. We did not. Didn't get permission there, didn't do it, got over the Canadian forest before it came into the U.S. We could have shot it down then, we didn't, and most of the debris would have hit forest, maybe some houses, but very unlikely over that area. And then once it's over the states, the attitude was, well, we're afraid the debris field might cause damage to Americans. We were being damaged at the moment it was flying over our nation. And targeting specific military installations. And Biden dared say that we finally shot it down when I got off the coast of South Carolina. And, of course, the government was telling us all the time, well, we're blocking any transmission, so it can't be sending anything live back. That's what they're telling us. What do you think it was doing? So they thought, well, we shoot it down, then we'll retrieve all the data so they won't get any of it. There's no way I buy that story. And then Biden says, well, I don't think she even knew about it. It was pretty bad for a dictator not to know that his military was doing that. Now, again, do you believe that? Apparently Biden does. Give me a break. Thanks for joining us for hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. for you. This November 16, 2023. Now, I remind you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. A lot of ways to see us or listen. If by chance you missed and you can't see or watch now in full, I understand. That's why everything also goes up as either video or audio podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. You won't miss anything. May I encourage you to subscribe? When you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, just push subscribe. Costs you nothing. We don't sell your list, and we'll just make sure everything gets to your email box as we put it up, and then you can either look at it, listen to it, or not. It's your choice. But you won't miss anything. And then Larry said, boy, I wish I'd heard that. And Larry did what on air? I want to see that. You missed some already. You're out of luck. So far. Quentin's laughing at me over there. Yeah, you know, any moment things could happen again. So they had this little meeting between Dictator Xi and President Biden, and you heard Maria kind of stretching for the right way to describe it as a walk through this beautiful garden. Xi used his remarks at the press conference to push it China's view that the coronavirus pandemic is over, and yet the world economy is still sluggish. He did not take any blame for it coming from China. He just said it's over, the economy is still sluggish, industrial and supply chain still under the threat of interruption. We have protectionism rising. That means that we're not going to trade. We, this country and others, maybe won't trade with you because of some of your stances and things you're doing, enslaving Uyghur Muslims. He added that these are all grave problems. And then he added, for two large countries like China and the U.S., turning their back on each other is not an option. It's unrealistic for one side to remodel the other, and conflict and confrontation has unbearable consequences for both sides. Pushing China's narrative, which we've already heard from the Biden White House via Secretary of Treasury Yellen, and then also from Biden, we're not looking to decouple from China. Well, if you're looking to find out what they say and what they do, in other words, do they walk their talk, Atlas Organization founder Jonathan D.T. Ward was on with Maria and said simply, China doesn't keep promises.
We're not really going to see any real change in China's actual grand strategy. I mean, what they want is to buy time through diplomacy with the United States so that their economic, trajectory stays on course. I mean, they want to remain engaged with the U.S. They never would have gotten this far without American capital, technology, and market access. And they just need to get a little more of that for the decade ahead. And if we don't call them on that, if we don't move forward, we're going to realize that there was this moment that we had where we could have stopped the rise of China, changed the geopolitical game, and regained our own ascendancy, and we will have lost it.
In other words, you look back and say, we had that opportunity. Maybe you'll be around to see what happens and wish we'd had it and used the opportunity, or you won't be here. Your kids, your grandkids will be living under a new world order under China, because we failed to take the opportunity we had in hand. And the bottom line is, again, according to Atlas Organization founder Jonathan D.T. Ward, not only does China not keep its promises, they need us more than we need them.
Absolutely, they need us more than we need them. We would never have had the rise of China without access to American markets, capital and technology. Never would have happened. And on the other hand, for them to achieve China's vision of victory, for them to achieve their long-term grand strategy, they'll never get there without continued access to American markets, financial capital, and technology. So we have this very limited window in which to start cutting them off, in which to start closing the door to those goods from not only ourselves, but from other rich nations around the alliance system, around the OECD. And if we don't do that, we're going to see the continued militarization and sort of build up and all kinds of human rights atrocities. Everything will be powered by our markets, our capital, and our technology. And ultimately, they will give us a war. Their goal is to have a war that they will win. You know, I'm technically a historian of their diplomacy and sort of military history and since the founding of the PRC. And all the signs are there. It may not happen in the immediate future, but they're preparing to do it.
And they play the long game. China's always played the long game. It's again akin to what you've often have heard. They're playing chess while we're playing checkers right now. Now, you know, we have a Chinese specialist guest on often, Gordon G. Chang. And he was doing an interview with Fox News and talking again about the value or lack of value between the China premier coming to the U.S. And again, in this case, Chang's view is that Xi was simply here to play us.
Xi Jinping has his view of an economy dominated by state institutions, very little room for domestic private entrepreneurs, almost no room for foreign investors, but he wants our money. And so he'll continue to play for it. And he thinks he'll probably get it and be able to get it on his own terms. So, yeah, definitely Xi Jinping wants foreign money, and that's why he's here. He's not here to talk to Biden so much. He's here to get foreign money.
Yeah. Whatever he can do to show, hey, I've got a relationship with Biden. You need to get more money to me. Not only from foreign countries, but businesses in the U.S. And many of them will comply and go along with it. In fact, Gordon G. Chain raised something else. He said there's a hidden agenda going on here that really does bother me deeply.
I'd be much less concerned about a confident China than I am about a China that believes it has a closing window of opportunity to achieve historic objectives. And in fact, we see Beijing acting very belligerently at Second Thomas Shoal in the Philippines. This looks like a regime that wants to provoke an incident.
In other words, they want something to blow up and happen. My guest in the last hour, in case you missed it, I know you can't watch and hear everything all the time, but it's available at LarryConnersUSA.com. Victoria Coates of The Federalist made it very clear that China is more than glad to see Hamas attack Israel. And, of course, they're supporting Iran, China is. And they're glad to see any other kind of chaos in the world that indirectly or directly affects the U.S., because anything that affects any of them, or even the Arab countries, or Russia, is a benefit to China. As they said, they're playing the long game. One question I would want Biden to have asked, which I know he didn't, because he doesn't have the gonads to do so, to point out, look, we got a lot of your Chinese military-age men coming across our border. We've got video of them. These are single, young, military-age men coming across our border. Can you explain that? What's going on? Now, she could have said, well, they defected from my country. And then you should ask, why would they leave your great country? Neither one was going to be asked. But you have to know that if she believed they defected, their families, any relatives they have at all in China, have already been executed. There's no way a Chinese male will leave his family, his wife, his children, his grandparents, his parents, even his dog, to come here without permission, authorization, and basically orders from the premier. So once you're inside the country, what's to happen next? Yesterday, FBI Director Wray admitted we have terrorists already inside our nation. They're here right now. An uncounted number of terrorists. But we don't know where they are.
Are there people that match the terror watch list that were apprehended by CBP that the FBI and other agencies are searching for in the United States?
There are certainly individuals who are the subject of terrorism investigations that we are searching for.
Are there people that you don't? Are there people you don't know where they are that the FBI is searching for today?
Yes
or no? Yes.
When I got to Director Wray, I had to pin him down on that question, and it's not surprising to the American public that they are looking for people. 282 people have crossed into this country and matched the terror watch list that we know about. That does not include the gotaways. And furthermore, after Director Wray answered that question, which should alarm every American, especially after what happened in Israel with the horrific attacks by Hamas, that can happen here. And when questioned, Secretary Mayorkas told the American people that they really don't have a policy. DHS does not have a policy to detain people who do match the terror watch list.
That is absolutely amazing to me. They don't have a policy to detain someone that we identify as a terrorist? Is this the kind of thing? Well, they haven't robbed the bank yet. We know they're casing it. We know they're getting things ready, but they haven't robbed it yet. We can't do anything. Is that the attitude? You're risking American lives based on that. Now, last night, speaking of what's happened in Israel, last night all the Democrats in the Senate voted to not give aid to Israel. They vetoed it. Now, they don't like that language, say we vetoed. They're saying we want a better bill. This bill wasn't good. Chuck Schumer stood in the well of the Senate the other day saying we want money for Israel ASAP. So Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, got votes together, said here's $14.5 billion, what you wanted for Israel, here it is. And Schumer sniffed at, said it doesn't contain Ukraine funding and other stuff I want. So they all 51 Democrats in the Senate vetoed. But again, they don't like that word. Larry Kudlow of Fox Business News was asking one of the supporters of the bill, Senator Marshall, what happened?
All right, a simple question. Why did Democrats block aid to Israel in a vote last night? Joining me now, Kansas Senator Roger Marshall. So, Senator Marshall, I know you fought hard for it. Israel needs it. Hamas trying to kill them. Why did Democrats block this? What's going on here?
Well, that's a great question, Larry. I think number one is we got to show them their true colors. We showed America the Democrats' true colors last night. We called their bluff for once. For over a month, Republicans have been calling for a vote on standalone legislation for Israel funding, and the Democrats saying, "Oh yes, we want to help Israel, but they always wanted to leverage it for Ukraine funding to make the border more open, to bring more people across the border." But we found a way to seize control of the Senate floor and demand this vote. And 51 Democrats, every one of them, voted against funding for Israel. What's ironic is that 2 p.m., Chuck Schumer's on the National Mall saying, we will not rest until Israel gets its aid. But at 6 p.m., he votes against that.
Voted against it. Right there in the mall in the rally, the 300,000 in the mall at Washington, waving Israeli flags. I stand here with you. I'm with you. But when it came time to vote the money in, nope, not going to send it because you don't have Ukraine money attached to it. Such a lunacy. And they want to blame Republicans for playing politics with the Israeli-Hamas issue. Senator Marshall continues.
Time is of the essence. We need to send a message to Iran and all the proxies that enough is enough, and America is not going to tolerate terrorism. We're not going to tolerate these brutal, savage attacks by Hamas on Israelis or on anybody, for that matter, that this is a war for humankind. So instead, Chuck Schumer sent a message last night to Iran and the proxies, go ahead. There's no red line.
Next vote, Senator.
It'll be months because Joe Biden is insisting on tying this to a supplemental vote that funds Ukraine, that makes the border more open as well, and Taiwan funding. And I'm telling you, we're no closer today on that vote than we were a month ago. That even within the Democrat caucus, they're divided on what to do with each one of these issues. And what the Senate does is dead on arrival in the House and vice versa as well. That's why we need the standalone Israel funding passed yesterday.
Needed it yesterday, but it's not. They did get passed through the House a CR to continue operating the government for a period of time. I've got a guest coming up, a woman born in China and as a teenager got sent to re-education camps. And she says China wants to take all of the USA. A warning you do not want to miss. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, S-T-O-W-L-O-C-H, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, we had during a period of time what was called the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And at that time, it was basically taking children often from their parents and taking them to camps to basically re-educate them, to educate them in the Mao way. That was part of the Mao's cultural revolution, to basically control the kids. Then in turn, you control the adults. And then as the kids become adults, then they'll control their kids the same way, and so on and so on. That was the premise of the Mao's cultural revolution. My guest we're trying to reach and get on the air right now, we're having trouble getting through, Xi Van Fleet. She lived through the horrors of that as a school girl. In fact, she got forced to the countryside with other young Chinese for re-education after high school. She later escaped communism, found freedom, and a new life in America. But 30 years later now, from that time that she escaped and got free of all of that, she is seeing, in her words, the same cultural Marxism that ravaged her birth country of China, playing out here in the USA. It's just not here. I mean, if you think that this was some grand scheme that just suddenly happened, this was already in play years ago. What we're getting now is basically evidence that it's still here. It's just taken a different form. And you technically should know how it's doing that. And that is the fact that the woke culture is exactly the same thing. Now, a lot of folks won't like that analysis because they think, well, now we're not trying to make people communist or whatever, if you want to call that. But if you look at what's happening with the woke culture and what was going on in the schools, that's exactly what it was. We're still trying to reach her. I don't know if we'll get her or not, but let me give you some of her story and her background in addition. I'd rather her tell it, but assuming she's not locked up somewhere. No, she's not. She's no longer in China, but she said in her book that she's got out, Miles America, A Survivor's Warning, she said, you look at the Marxist tactics of division, indoctrination, deception, coercion, cancellation, subversion, and violence. Now, do you not see that with what we've got going on in the world right now? Of course you do. Under the woke culture, it's here. It's right now. The same thing she's identified as indoctrination, deception, coercion, cancellation, we know that happens, subversion, and then violence if that doesn't work. And the violence in the streets, if it's carried out by the left, it's acceptable. I mentioned earlier that hundreds last night were outside the Democrat National Committee headquarters. And you know why? Because they don't think Biden's being tough enough against Israel and that he's too weak and won't do enough to support the PLO and Hamas. We got her on the line now. She Van Fleet, glad to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, so we were going through some of the basic premise of your book and your background, but before I continue along that line, what were your thoughts about Xi meeting with President Biden? What did you expect to see, and what do you think did happen?
Well, I'm not following that news closely, but I will say this, you can't really get a deal with the CCP. And they always call a deal for them is win-win. That means they win twice.
Yeah. That I understand. I play poker, and sometimes we get to a point where you talk about chopping, where everybody gets a certain amount of money, and one guy's always saying, I'm only in the deal if I get the best of the others. In other words, I want the most. You point out in your book that as how they will, and in the past during Mao, and we're seeing it now, weaponizing youth, using them as a means to an end.
Yes, that is what the Cultural Revolution is about. It's a revolution of youth. Who are those youth? They were indoctrinated youth from the CCP's government schools and universities. That's ring the bell to most Americans. That's what our social justice warriors are all about. They are from government schools and government or Marxist-run universities, indoctrinated.
And they've infiltrated universities all across the nation. My grandson was thinking about going to University of Texas, and I said, you don't want to do that. And he said, well, Papa, you were born in Austin. I thought you'd like that. I said, no. The city's gone blue, and the university, trying to be in with the Ivy League schools, brought in all the Ivy League professors, and they brought their baggage of Marxism with them, and it's multiplied.
Yes. And it's not even, I call it blue. It is really Marxist, the communist. And in many ways, it's red.
It's red all the way, and it's basically at the destruction of freedom and America. They say, you point out in your book, that they have the same goal of achieving absolute power at the expense of the people, whether they want to call it Marxism or communism.
Yes. It's all about power. Once you understand that, everything is easier to understand. Why they do this, why they do that, what they want. They want power. They want power. They are willing to destroy the whole civilization and the whole society as long as that helps them to get power.
You actually spoke out at a school board speech in 2021 against critical race theory. That was in Loudoun County, Virginia. And it suddenly went viral and got a lot of national attention because you were saying, I've lived under communism, and this is what you're going to invite in here.
Exactly. I hope people are paying attention, and I think people are paying attention because I'm not talking about something I read, something that I learned from my research. I lived through it. I lived through the destructive cultural revolution that destroys the traditional culture, the traditional civilization, canceled everything. They dismantled the statues. They changed the names of streets and the institutions, and they, even their own names, to be politically correct. And then they really is the whole cultural revolution is really a revolution also of identity politics, identity of two. One is called the red class. They are the friends of the party, and then the other is called the black class. That they are the enemies of the state. And that's what we see here. We see identity politics, and that's how they divide people. They divide people into groups, and then they call one side the oppressor, and the other side the oppressed.
And not only the institutions we normally think of, the base institution, the family, they destroy.
That's the key. In the Communist Manifesto, they clearly laid out they want to destroy religion, they want to destroy the ownership of private property, and they want to destroy family. And what they have to do is, if they want to achieve their goal, is to destroy the family by destroying religion. And that's what we see today. And why the people don't know left and right from wrong, because they have changed their worldviews to Marxist worldview, see everything as oppressors versus oppressed. And that's how they determine what's right, what's wrong.
You're listening to Xi Van Fleet. She's the author of Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning. Now, part of this also gets into, as we were mentioning before you joined us, the tactics of division, indoctrination, deception, cancellation. And that's something they're very good about. If you step out of line, we will destroy you, your family, your career, your business, everything.
Yeah. And now American people started to learn a new term, struggle session. And you're not just being canceled. You have to be canceled in public and through public humiliation. You have to be humiliated, denounced, so that the others learn the lesson from you, so they stay within the line.
Well, let me raise that question briefly in the last minute or so here with you. When you were sent away to this re-education camp, you didn't volunteer to go for leave your family and go into the countryside, correct?
No.
Your view at that point and your fellow classmates, what were you talking amongst yourself until you basically learned, shut up, follow the order?
Yeah, and people ask me, do you ever question anything? I said, no. I never question anything. In order for me to question anything, I have to have information. I have to see the other side of the argument. I never get to do that.
Right.
I only fed one version of everything, and that's the truth. And that's the thing I follow. So I never questioned. I didn't. Yeah.
So therefore, you become more pliable, and then you will just simply echo without real knowledge other than indoctrination.
Just like today's kids in college and in high school and a public school, yes. Don't question, and you just follow. Here is you're just being triggered. Once you're triggered, off you go to the streets and protest. And that's what we were just told what to do, and we just follow the order.
In the last 20 seconds, do you think we have time to start fighting back and turn it around?
I don't think that's even a question. We have to fight back if we want to keep this country for our children and children's children. We have to fight back. Yes, we have to win.
I thank you very much for your time. Xi Van Fleet, author of the book, Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning. Read it and get it in your head and know this is what's going on right now. Coming up, some words Trump is using. Thank you. Coming up, Donald Trump's words being used against him. Some saying he's creating violence. Oh, here we go again.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
There's 1,000 miles in 18 hours. I got a double drive down southbound 35. I got the hammer down, Detroit made, 525, pushing my ass right down that line. And that smell of burning diesel fuel just tells me that I'm back out.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So let me take you through something. We'd mentioned this earlier, and that was how there was a major protest demonstration that basically some are saying was violent at the Democrat National Committee headquarters. Why? Well, because there are those PLO enthusiasts, pro-Hamas enthusiasts, who don't think Biden is doing enough to walk away from Israel. I keep saying he's sliding away anyway because the squad keeps kind of pressuring him, and he's just thinking, I guess I've got to play to my base, and that would be the squad. A lot of Democrats are not going to like this. They don't even have to be Jewish not to like it. And the rally that took place in D.C. over the weekend, 300,000 showing up, waving Israeli flags, some with U.S. flags attached to them. No violence, no issue. Extra police on guard, but there was no shoving, arguing, fighting, anything of that nature. 300,000. The weekend before, hundreds of PLO supporters, Hamas supporters, gathered outside Biden's home and were yelling and shouting, and nobody got hurt again, but again, it was trying to impress on him, you need to buckle up and accept that there's going to be a two-state solution, if really not from the river to the sea, no Israel. I'm upset with Biden, not strongly condemning Hamas and fellow members of Congress that are repeating that refrain. And when they're asked about it, when reporters asked some of them, like Tlaib or Omar, do you not realize that that's inciting and it suggests violence and destruction of an entire race, a religious-founded race? I mean, do you not understand that? And they basically take the attitude, either I don't care or I'm not going to bother answering. They know exactly. They know exactly what's behind the phrase. So the mob attack, and The Hill is what I'm reading from. The Hill is a left-leaning publication, basically. And they call it a mob attack on the DNC headquarters. Shows, quote, the radicalization of many in the Democrat Party. Democrat members of Congress inside the DNC headquarters at the time, according to The Hill, the way it's written, appeared to narrowly escape the scene without injury as, quote, protesters, quote, illegally and violently demanded peace in the Middle East by ceasefire now. They don't want more rockets rained down on Gaza. They don't want the Israeli Defense Forces going into the tunnels and going after the Hamas terrorist. Capitol Police posted on Twitter during the attack, right now our officers are working to keep back approximately 150 illegally, violently protesting in the area of Canal Street and Ivy Street Southeast. Officers are making arrests. Members have been evacuated from the area. Please stay away from the area. These are Democrats they're yelling at and trying to get to. Now, I'll give you some responses to some Republicans, and then I'll give you some others. But Senator Marco Rubio of Florida posted, all of these are socialist, violent socialist Hamas supporters trying to storm the offices of the Democrat Party. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona, Republican. The nation's capital is under siege. Last week it was the White House. He's talking about when the PLO is also yelling and shouting in front of the White House. This week it's the DNC. These left-wing lunatics have to be held accountable. Congressman Crane of Arizona. The FBI has arrested hundreds of people for entering the Capitol on January 6th. Given tonight's chaos, we'll see if they get the same treatment. So it's also worth noting, the FBI still has had no word about who planted pipe bombs at the DNC and the RNC on January 6th. A senior advisor to former President Trump said, and this is very important for those of you listening in Chicago, he said, the mob attack you saw last night, that shows that the DNC 2024 convention is going to be lit. Yep, the Democrats decide they want to hold the convention in Chicago. And Richard Grinnell echoed those remarks, saying this does look like the Obama DNC convention in 2012 when half the Democrat delegates were loudly anti-Israel. Kat Kamak, Republican of Florida, said the entire Capitol building got shut down because of that unrest at the DNC headquarters, saying, I'm on Capitol Hill right now. It's on lockdown. No getting in or out of our offices. We have officers that were pepper sprayed by pro-Hamas protesters, many trying to break into the Democrat headquarters. Anyone notice how violent the so-called ceasefire crowd is? One House Democrat, according to Axios, who was at the DNC, told Axios, again, a liberal, leftist-leaning, if not solid left, publication said, the Democrat was quoted as saying, that event last night, it scared me more than January 6th. The lawmaker added, someone sent out word for people to come back. Police said it's not safe. Don't come back. Saying people were, or police were wearing gas masks. This was not peaceful. And yet you've got some that were defending the attack. They say, no, no, our goal was just to block the door in a nonviolent civil disobedience, saying all the violence occurred on one side. the police, of course, the most brutal police response I've ever seen. I don't see a single piece of video that's been posted showing other than police making arrests, trying to break arms when they've interlocked their arms to stay in place, and trying to get them away from each other. When I said break arms, I don't mean break their arms, but break those who were had arms interlocked, trying to get them unlocked so we can get them in the jail and get them out of here. But that one Democrat saying, again, according to his quote in Axios, it scared me more than January 6th. Didn't the Democrats tell us January 6th was an insurrection? Well, of course, we had a congressional action underway, and it did stall and delay the action of Congress. This is just interrupting the DNC headquarters for maybe whatever they're doing for Hillary Clinton. Now, the other thing that comes up is that we've had Donald Trump making some remarks, and as a result, some have now been coming forward and trying to get him and blame him for any additional violence we see happen. I don't know how the hell they're going to blame the violence that happened at the DNC upon Trump, but they'll find a way. And don't believe everyone out there waving a PLO flag is simply for a two-state or a Palestine. They want to wipe out Israel. And don't believe, if any, in that crowd, if you actually got them cornered and said, do you accept what Hamas did by going and killing civilians, that a majority would not have said yes, that it was a perfect action. And yet they now want to cease fire. Quit, stop. So the other day, Trump used the term vermin. I'll give you the context in a minute, but first let me let you know that CNN had Vivek Ramaswamy on, and they thought, well, we'll hit him with that question.
That language, they live like vermin. Do you believe that that is, as your Republican colleague Chris Christie has said, neo-Nazi rhetoric?
This is a classic mainstream media move. Pick some individual phrase of Donald Trump, focus on literally that word without actually interrogating the substance of what's at issue.
The word was chosen for a reason.
We are in the middle of a cultural war in this country.
The word was chosen for a reason.
Well, you know what? It's actually describing a series of behaviors. You have Antifa and other related groups that have been burning down cities for the last 3 years in this country.
Would you describe them as vermin?
Wildly violating the rule of law. We have an invasion on our southern border. We have millions of people crossing our southern border. Let's talk about the substance.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to give a lot of praise for Vivek. He does not let them take that easy door in. Chris Christie did. He was asked the same question by Jake Tapper, and oh yeah, he rolled over on Trump immediately. Yeah, such nasty language is going to incite more violence. That's what they wanted to hear from Vivek. He said that's the exact game plan that you state media, or as I call state-controlled media, use all the time. Look for one word out of context and say, what a nasty word. How can you defend that? I have not defended Donald Trump on a lot of things he said. But what the word was in context was at a rally saying, when I'm elected president, I'm going to get all the communists, the Marxists, the thugs, the rest of the vermin out of our country. I'm all in love with that statement. Vivek wasn't through.
Picking on Donald Trump's word vermin to talk about that status quo. You know what's vermin? What's running around San Francisco on a given day before Gavin Newsom cleaned it up on a dime to roll out the red carpet for Xi Jinping. If he could do that for Xi Jinping, he could have done it on an ordinary day. And yet we're here sitting talking not about the substance of that, but on one word that Donald Trump said in some speech in Miami. This is what's wrong with the mainstream media. Focus on the substance and let's have an actual policy debate rather than talking to a presidential candidate instead of the policy substance of what's actually going on in the country. Picking on some word that Donald Trump said on a certain day and asking me for comment on it. Give me a break.
Give me a break. Well, of course, they're still going to use the word vermin because they got supporters like Chris Christie on the Republican side that will definitely say, yeah, that's just inciting viciousness. I don't know what they're saying about the PLO pro-Hamas attack on the DNC headquarters, how Trump incited that. But what the Hill did do through their writer Alexander Bolton say, Trump's violent talk shows signs of taking over Congress. In other words, what he's saying is being now echoed, reflected in Congress. One thing he said the other day in one interview or maybe a clip, basically, yeah, I'm going to get revenge. Well, they didn't like that. Same thing that Israel is getting revenge now with Hamas for what they did to their people. Now, you can characterize revenge in whatever way you want. Get even. Just basically get even or make them realize they made the wrong decision, picked on the wrong guy, or they should not have done what they did do. All that could fit under revenge. Or you could have what we did have happen yesterday in the Senate, which we played for you throughout the day yesterday. And they're, again, using that event to show that, see, the things that Trump says is sparking similar things happening in Congress. That was, of course, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, a Republican of Oklahoma, and the Teamsters president challenging each other on the floor. Mullen reading some of these statements and texts he'd gotten from the Teamsters chairman or president. And basically, they were standing up to go at it. Well, at least Mark Wayne Mullen did, because Mullen told the Teamster leader, you ready to deal with this now? He said, yeah, I am. I'm ready. He said, well, stand your butt up. And Mullen got out of his chair immediately and took his wedding ring off. He's a mixed martial arts artist, fighter, won almost every one he's done, I believe. He later told CNN, yeah, I had every intention of pounding him right there in the hearing room. He's not mincing words. First thing I thought of when I stood up, I'm going to break my hand on this guy's face, so I'm taking my wedding ring off. And Mitt Romney, quote, Republican, who voted twice to convict Trump of impeachment last time around, he's going to retire at the end of the year, said that, unfortunately, the Republican Party has become the party of Trump. He said Mullen's attempt to challenge a witness to a brawl in the middle of the hearing was clearly unfortunate. And he said there's no question there's been a coarsening of political discourse in America. Romney, you're right about that, but where the hell were you when it was being done by the left? Where were you then calling it out? When Maxine Waters saying, when Trump was in office, if you see any of them anywhere out, you get in their face, say, you don't belong here. You remember Sarah Huckabee Sanders serving as a White House press secretary, trying to go to lunch with her family? They were basically chased out of a place, a restaurant, because people were getting in their face. And who would you blame for that? Donald Trump? No, that'd be Maxine Waters. But they weren't going to do that either. There, and again, in this Hill piece, they're reporting that Trump's use of violent rhetoric has become almost routine. Senator Stabenow, Democrat of Michigan, speaking about what nearly broke out in the hearing room yesterday, say, I worry about our young people looking at this. I worry about what this says about our society, respect for one another, and they think it's okay to bust windows. Where the hell were you during the riots of 2020? Where were you making those statements then? Oh, you weren't, were you? Because you didn't want to say anything because you might get canceled, or you accepted it. And I reminded you that even during the days long before now, you had a political party elected members of Congress often threatening to whip your butt, and in some cases threatening to duel. It's not new, but it's being used now as a weapon against conservatives. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.